This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. It's Friday, man. Friday, 9 o'clock. We're feeling good. And we'll dig more into Nick Caley and D'Amico Ryans from yesterday, Astros, as we unfold the 9 o'clock hour here. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. So last week, Seth, it's probably like more than a week now, but we had Ross Tucker on for his weekly visit. And in the midst of some excellent football analysis, he revealed something that he did that is really, if everybody were to do this, it would torpedo the economy if we think about it, right?
It really would, and it felt almost mean-spirited.
Yeah.
This take that he had, it was, and more than anything, It stands in stark contrast to anything I would have expected out of Ross Tucker.
Same.
Who is generally like a very good-natured, bubbly, outward-focused human being. He cares about other people.
But as it turns out, he does not like to wait in line at restaurants.
Right.
That's his
Achilles
heel.
Well, I mean, nobody does, but you're going to – this take is just – he wants to take the power to keep restaurant lines short in his own hands.
Yep. So here was Ross about a week or two ago.
You know, there's a restaurant at the Jersey Shore that I absolutely love. And we told a couple people about it. And now it seems like word has spread and it's harder to get reservations. So my new thing is, like, if I really like a restaurant, I'm not telling anybody. And in fact, someone asked me about it, I'd be like, that place is terrible. You don't want to go there. Because I want to get reservations.
All right, underrated. Underrated. You pointing out his ego and him just continuing to talk right over you.
It's as if, like, he was the only person that was telling anybody that this really good restaurant was really good.
I love him so much.
They were struggling until I put the word out on the street that this was a place to be.
Yeah.
I think that might be part of what made it so incredibly bad as a take.
Yes.
That not only does he believe that you should actually actively sabotage that restaurant that you like to keep the line short, and that you yourself have the power in your hands to be the one person that puts a restaurant over.
Okay, so he holds the bad take belt right now, Ross Tucker, right?
He's especially because he said you should actually tell people that it's bad.
Yes. So
it's one thing if you just keep your mouth shut.
Yep.
I feel like I've known, if you spend any amount of time living in Houston, you know that there are really good restaurants that just, for whatever reason, don't make it.
Yep.
It's really hard to make it in this town.
Yep.
But there's some incredible, incredible places that just don't make it. It's hard to make it as a restaurant.
All right, so let's play a few of these from the last week or so. Okay, these are all takes that were uttered on radio or television in the last few weeks, or in the last 7 days. Here was Deion.
So can they take the crown?
Can they take the crown, right. They pin Ross Tucker 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring? Here was DeAndre Hopkins after the game being asked, what was your big takeaway from the Super Bowl, and here's what he had to say.
Loss is the loss. You know, it says W or L at the end of the day. Those guys beat us. So, you know, man, tough loss. You know, it's my first year being with the Chiefs, and, you know, I saw a lot of things in the media about the refs, but obviously, what y'all going to say now about the refs and us when there was a lot of touchy calls? Are y'all going to report that? Are y'all going to talk about the refs now?
Chiabella. Yeah, there we go. That's the only thing that saved okay. that take was Chiabella.
There's two things that salvage it. One, the Chiabella. Two, the fact that, like, he's upset. He just lost his chance to win a Super Bowl.
A horrible
all of that.
Take.
If all you do is look at it out of context and look at the transcript of it, it's a horrible, horrible take. But I can't crush him for it because I think he's just upset.
Okay.
It's probably something that if it was a game in which they had lost and it was close, and they had had a bunch of calls go against him,
Then
it would have made sense. It feels like something that he wanted to say as he was getting annoyed by it over these last few weeks, especially perhaps. So it's a bad take, but it's not nearly close to Ross Tucker's consciously sabotaging restaurants that are doing good work.
Local business, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue with the Super Bowl. Angelo Cataldi, former legendary morning host on our sister station, WIP, was on a podcast and was asked about...
To be clear, WIP is Philadelphia.
Philadelphia,
a guy who's been with Andy Reid watched and covered Andy Reid for a long time.
Yep, so that's where we're going with this. Andy Reid, he was talking about Andy Reid on this podcast, who, as Seth mentioned, Cataldi had a decade and a half of covering Andy Reid. Andy Reid, overrated.
Let me let your audience in on a little secret, all right? Because most of the country will argue this to the death. Andy Reid is way overrated as a coach, all right? Andy Reid was in Philadelphia 14 years. He won zero championships. Doug Peterson was here 5. He won one. Nick Sirianni's been here 4. He won one. The only reason Andy Reid was winning big games in KC was because he had this mastermind, Mahomes, making up plays on the run and doing brilliant stuff. The only reason Mahomes didn't do that yesterday is he had no time to do it. And Andy Reid could not figure out a way to give him time to do it. And the truth is, Mahomes is a stud. Mahomes is a great player despite yesterday. Zach, no argument. Reid, the all-time fraud of American sports.
Of American sports. Andy Reid. All right.
Hold on a second.
I can't get mad at Cataldi, man.
I'm counting up how many seasons Andy Reid has. He's got 23 total seasons coaching in the NFL.
Yeah.
Guess how many losing seasons he's had?
Oh, very few.
I mean, 23 seasons.
His last season in Philly, and I would guess none in Kansas City so far. I'll say three.
Three total, and one of those was his first season in Philly, you know, when he's taking over a team that had to hire a new head coach.
Yeah.
If you take out that first – so he's had two losing seasons in his entire tenure, a quarter century in the NFL.
Yeah.
Went to four. Everything that he said – about, he's got Pat Mahomes. For one, these last couple years, it's been as much about the defense as it has been about the offense.
Yep.
But two, he went to 4 AFC championship games with Donovan McNabb. You gotta look at both sides of this thing.
Okay.
To call him, look, you could put him lower in the pantheon of great coaches.
Yeah.
Maybe you make arguments for Belichick here or Walsh there or whatever. But to act like he's overrated, that is an insanely bad take.
Okay.
That is an insanely bad take.
And yet, if Cataldi's got Ross Tucker pinned in the middle of the ring, he's got the leg hooked. One, two. Does Ross kick out? Is it worse? Is it better or worse?
It's worse.
It's worse.
It's worse than Ross's
Cataldi's
take.
Cataldi's the new champ.
Because Ross is, listen, Ross, the biggest, there's a, like, are we talking about the morality of it or the accuracy of it? Ross's take, at least, except for the part where he's like single-handedly taking responsibility
the
for the word
take,
of mouth,
ego
but it at least makes logical sense.
Yeah.
That all right, he's encouraging other people, like, hey, let's all get together, and if we don't like this, if we really love this restaurant, let's not tell anybody about it. It's bad, and it's ultimately self-defeating.
Okay.
And yet, the logic of it at least makes sense.
Okay.
The logic of acting like hey, anybody could win multiple Super Bowls, and it took him way too long to do it. That's the part. Well, despite having a lot of success in regular seasons and going to NFC championship games, Cataldi's is the worst.
Cataldi
so far.
Is the new champ. All right, like this. We're treating this like a championship belt.
He didn't just say he's overrated. He said he's one of the all-time overrated
all-time
coaches.
Frauds in American sports.
He said fraud?
Frauds?
I didn't know if I imagined that or not.
No. Ben, can you play like the last 5 seconds of what old Cataldi's said right there?
Of American fraud of American sports.
All right, so Cataldi. Okay, I love this format. So Cataldi is the new champ. We're going to need wrestling sound effects and everything because we're going to do this every week. Take a mania. Cataldi. Okay, so now, Seth, I've got a few more of these in the holster. Is Cataldi going to be a champ that reigns over the sport for a long, long time? Let's find out. Here was Dak Prescott this past week saying the Cowboys are close.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned it and they deserved it by all means. But, very close, especially when you even watch the NFC game, the NFC championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And as I said, feel confident about we've gotten a better part each and every time. To see them, to see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
Not a great take. It wouldn't have gotten as much attention as it would have gotten if it were a good take. It got attention because it was a bad take, and yet I don't think that's worse than Cataldi. Right?
It was a really bad take, but it was also a guy sticking up for his own team and, you know, trying to talk about the part about check the record is the big fault with that is that, okay, this year the Eagles really took the Cowboys to the woodshed. Dak didn't play in either of those games, if I recall properly.
Oh, okay.
They were
okay
in the back half of the season. You know, they load up the divisional games. Yeah. So, which is selfish by a quarterback. You know, he's like, hey, they didn't beat me this year.
Yeah.
But much like with DeAndre Hopkins, I get where it was coming from. It's so I'm cool with it.
Well, I think the question too, I think he was referring to both the Eagles and the Commanders because they played each other in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
Let's point out the Commanders were picking second in the draft a year ago. Like, I do think there's an element to the NFL where every team feels like they're close. You say it every year, Seth. The training camp, the great thing about training camp is that there's 32 teams that many of whom are deluding themselves into thinking they can get to the Super Bowl that year.
Right.
It's the way the NFL works, right?
Every year except for the expansion year, I thought we were going to be right there with it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the year for us.
Right.
Damn it.
And if we had just practiced somewhere where we didn't get black lung, then we might have been in there too. Yeah.
Expansion year, I was terrified. I thought we were going to get destroyed every single game. We couldn't get a snap off in practice the week before the Cowboys game.
Oh,
I thought I was dreading it. I had a full bore like mental breakdown 2 days before that game. Randy was worried about me.
Oh, really?
And I was just checking. Yeah, Dak didn't play against the Commanders this year either.
Okay.
So at the very least, when he's drawing on his personal experience versus those teams, I guess that it makes a little bit more sense.
That it would be the previous year. Yeah, he's had a good record against those teams for sure. All right, how about this one? So right now the champion in Take-A-Mania is Angelo Cataldi. Formerly of WIP, with his Andy Reid is the biggest fraud in American sports. Here is Stephen A. Smith with Brian Windhorst on ESPN saying that the Lakers, after the Doncic trade, in need of a center, should sign Dwight Howard.
I haven't seen him in a couple of years. I don't know how he's looking, Wendy, but I'm finding it hard to believe. Like, you know, all you need is somebody to defend and rebound. Why not look at a Dwight Howard?
Sure.
Why not look at somebody off the scrap heap? He's always in shape. He never looks out of shape at all. Don't get me wrong. I understand, Wendy. I know we ain't seen him in a while. But Shannon brought up names like JaVale McGee. Other. Just look around. I would say this to you, Wendy. Look around the league. Who's available? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Wendy,
what are we talking about here, Wendy?
Why do you think Mark Grunfeld when he's saying that?
Playing in Mongolia. Why don't you call him?
Who?
DeMarcus Cousins is playing in Mongolia. Why don't you call him?
I'll tell you why.
He's literally playing in Mongolia. Dwight Howard's going into the Hall of Fame because he's retired for so long.
His last time he didn't want to retire.
Was in Taiwan. Are you being serious?
I'm being serious only from this standpoint. You don't need anything from him. You just need a big body who can rebound, okay? And kind of do something to play defense. You don't need I'm not telling you that the man is going to be what he once was.
Right, so we know the badness is out there already on this one.
It's okay, so Dwight Howard hasn't played, and this is the third season in which he will not have played the NBA.
His
NBA
last
basketball.
Season he was a bench warmer for, wait for it, the Los Angeles Lakers.
He did shoot 53.3% from the 3-point line that year, though. So there's that.
he did.
Could
you're
be
right.
A 3-and-D type of guy.
He did. You're right. What was Dwight doing shooting 3-and-D? You're right. He shot five 33 from 3-point range. The crazy thing about that is there's no small number of threes that get you to like 53. You know, if it was like
67%
or 750 or 800,
75%, something like that.
Yeah. Shot like 25 of them. Yeah.
Okay. So at the sum total of it all, I could see where he was going with that.
Yeah.
He is 39 years old, but he's always in shape.
Yeah.
And the biggest issue I have that is that it's almost treating basketball like it's football or something, where you play defense on one side and then offense on the other.
Yeah.
That it's not like Dwight's going to come in and give you heavy minutes and solve your defensive issues with the 16.2 minutes that he was playing 3 years ago. So, and it would probably be less than that. But I got, if he's just spitballing and thinking about stuff, I don't think that's nearly as bad as a lot of the other ones.
No, I don't think so. It's a bad thing.
He didn't go into that segment specifically thinking, like, you know what, I'm going to make the argument for Dwight Howard.
Right. Cataldi sat up all night thinking about, he was counting down the minutes.
Cataldi's been thinking about this for like 8 years.
Yes, yeah.
Since the first Chiefs championship, I think he's been thinking this.
I'm with you on that one. All right. Hey, last one. This is Carl Ravage. We played Archie Miller, the coach of Rhode Island, a week or two ago, citing a stat that the SEC is overrated because they're 51-51 in their last 51 games as a conference. When in fact,
playing against like within the conference, mathematically,
yeah,
you're gonna end up with a 500 record.
No
overall.
Way to be any. There's
it's the
a
way
winner.
Math works.
There's a winner and a loser. Carl Ravage, who was doing play by play on an SEC game, I forget which two teams. It was Texas and somebody playing in this game. He got on this thing also.
So think about it. We know how dominant they were in the non-conference season. The SEC, they were 185-23 since January 4 into Tuesday. The SEC teams are 82-82. It's not as if one team or two teams or three. They're 82-82. Like, there's been no ability to pull away. There's no dominant group of teams.
Yeah. I mean, they've
played an exclusively SEC schedule since then.
Yes.
It's
you can't be anything but 82-82.
You know, when I first saw the headline of this, I thought that, okay, maybe this is going to become like the, you know, when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, from Animal House, where people, it becomes a running gag. You say it even though you know it's wrong. It was not that. It was him. Somebody had given him that stat.
He tried to play it off. He apparently was on a plane when this video really started to pick up steam on the internet.
Yeah.
So he landed, and his phone re-engaged with his 5G, and it was brr, 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 like text.
Yeah.
He tried to play it off on social media like it was just poor delivery of him
joking
about it.
Yeah.
There's no way. If that's the case, it's the poorest delivery of a joke ever.
If that was a joke, that was the equivalent of when somebody is about to give a really bad pun and be like, hey, well, I've got one for you. Wait, hey, wait a second, though. Wait.
And they give it, and then afterwards they go, no pun intended.
Yeah, and then elbow you real hard in the ribs.
In the ribs, yes.
God, I hate him so
all right,
much.
But really bad.
Not Ravage.
Really bad, but worse than Cataldi? Or is that just him just, I mean, it's obviously a major oversight.
It's a major oversight, but it's also, I can't stand here and act like I haven't been guilty of this on an average 1.5 times per show. When I look up a stat or somebody gives me a stat and I misinterpret it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a well thought out. It was a mistake. It was a bad mistake. Right. It wasn't even a take as much. It was just a mistake in the moment doing play by play.
We've got a new champion. Ross Tucker's off the hook. The champion, Angelo Cataldi. It's here his catchphrase. Thank you, Ben. Him. Yeah. All right. So we'll do
he
this.
He sounds
again.
Like a guy. He sounds like the guy on that science NPR podcast. I can't think of what it is. That made it extra annoying because that guy's kind of lovable and just like happy-go-lucky. But this
Cataldi.
Is the opposite
Cataldi's
of that.
Neither of those things. I like Cataldi. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Nick Haley, the new OC, was on Texans Radio last night with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. Really good interview. And he got more specific about something I was hoping he'd talk about more in his press conference. He's a former tight ends coach. What are we thinking about how Nick Haley is going to handle what is one of the rooms that I think Texan fans are most anxious about right now, the tight end room? We'll hear from Nick Haley coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It's kind of nice. I like the setup over there with respect to media with the Texans because you get the press conferences during the season with D'Amico Ryans and with Nick Caserio. Well, Nick Caserio doesn't do press conferences, but he does a weekly hit with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. But specific to D'Amico especially, but then yesterday with Nick Haley, I thought the media did a fine job. They asked all the questions that we were asking for yesterday, Seth, so they did a good job. And I thought Nick Haley was really good, gave good answers, didn't ramble, was excellent. But then John Harris, yeah, so this is me critiquing.
Feels like
his,
a shot at me.
No. Definitely not a shot at you. No, it's a shot
didn't
at
ramble.
It's a, no. It's a shot at people. It could be more interpreted as a shot at Bobby Slowick than anybody else. Like Bobby
would give long answers.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it because I think he's a bright guy, you know, and you kind of talk about the philosophy of football a lot and everything, but at the end, you started to hate it over time. Well, I don't want to hear any more of this philosophy of football.
But in putting a show together, we know that like answers that are nice 30 to 40 second bite-sized chunks are best for radio, and
yeah.
Nick Haley did a great job of that. So no, definitely not a shot at you. I do like that Nick Haley, Nick Caserio, and D'Amico Ryans go do their hits with John and Mark, which is in a little bit more of a relaxed atmosphere. And mm-hmm. I think you get a little more insight than you do in a normal press conference type atmosphere. There were a couple things that Nick Haley said with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer yesterday that did not come up as full force in the press conference as I would have liked. This one right here is one where I'm like, ooh, man, does this have the Texans reevaluating one of their position groups? Nick Haley, former tight ends coach, talks about where the run game starts from a physicality standpoint.
I've told the guys for a long time, you know, that, and it's selfish probably when you're coaching the position, but that's the straw that stirs the drink. Show me a really physical run game, and I'll show you really physical tight ends. And you know, I think it starts an extension of the offensive line to control the line of scrimmage. When you can affect the game in the passing game and you can get mismatches on safeties, backers, et cetera, you can extend guys, you can get open and catch the ball with size and stature as well. Very important. That position is very important to me. And, again, I'm, you know, maybe a little bit biased, but I believe that with everything in my being.
We spend all this time talking about the offensive line, and you're good about this. Like when we bring up the offensive line, you're quick to not let the tight ends off the hook when it comes to talking about blocking, protection, yeah, run game especially. For all the talk of Laremy Tunsil and, you know, Titus Howard at guard and, you know, this and that, this guy, that guy, are they physical enough? I don't think there's a physicality issue necessarily with the offensive line. I mean, they could play more physical. I think there's a attention to detail issue for sure. And there's certainly a why are you stopping in the middle of a play issue with the offensive line. You know, there's that.
Yeah, why are you a spectator all of a sudden?
Yes, the one guy who may have to undergo the biggest transformation in all of this might be Dalton Schultz if he's going to be a significant part of this team. He does lack physicality. And seemingly, like last year, whereas the year before, he didn't seem at least to be a willing blocker. I don't know what happened this past season, but Dalton Schultz was a disaster a lot of the time.
Even when it came to simple things like, you know, throwing an elbow into a defensive end's ribs before you go out on the route. He might as well have been swim moving him to get out onto his route. That was really upsetting, and it grew increasingly upsetting. I think that maybe they can get more out of Dalton Schultz, but at the end of the day, Dalton Schultz is not George Kittle. Athletically, temperament, everything else with that, he isn't that guy. I think what you got to hope for is that Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover can really learn from everything that Nick Caley can bring to the offense, and you get the most out of them. And I think Dalton Schultz will still be a nice receiving threat, or I should say option. He's a nice option as a wide receiver, or as a receiver.
As a pass catcher, yeah.
But I don't – look, Caley coached Rob Gronkowski for 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, Gronkowski – or for 4 years, I think. Gronkowski had – he already had three All-Pro – or two All-Pro seasons. It's not like Caley's ever going to claim credit for Rob Gronkowski or anything. But that's – that's in his mind, like, yeah, it's a lot easier when you've got a tight end that can block like that. I still get annoyed with people who try to compare Travis Kelce to Rob Gronkowski because it's not even close on the run side of things or the bind that it puts defenses in terms of personnel when Rob Gronkowski is on the line of scrimmage. So I don't think Nick Haley's going to fool himself into thinking that any of these guys are the next Rob Gronkowski, but he very much cares and understands about how much that helps out the offense, having a tight end who loves blocking and is good at it.
Can you see a scenario where Kate Stover is getting the most snaps out of this tight end group in 2025?
Yeah, depending. But I think it would end up being a game plan by game, a game by game thing. I think there's going to be times where you can't deny that Dalton Schultz is capable as a receiver and that he's going to be more heavily featured. In some of those games where they decide that they're going to be more run heavy, or it's going to be a different type of game, that you might see Cade Stover used more.
Yep. I just heard that cut yesterday. I'm like, oh man, that feels like it was a wake-up call for Dalton Schultz. I don't know if it was intended that way, but if I were Dalton Schultz and I'm hearing the new OC talk about where he feels the genesis of the physicality in the run game comes from, unless Dalton Schultz thinks he's physical right now, you know,
he'll be physical. It's that, all right, I want to see him be physical versus defensive ends. Not that you're going to, usually the tight end's going to lose that matchup, you know. In pass protection, it's a matter of losing slowly or getting your butt kicked slowly as much as possible. In the run game, you can get after it a little bit more. And I would just like to see that. I'd like to see those guys in the run game be more of a presence. And they did at times this year. It's just got to be more consistent.
Texter, sounds like Schultz may be out of here. Maybe. I don't know that the contract is real conducive to that right now. And I think to Seth's point, like, Dalton Schultz does some things well. Like, if Nick Caley is as creative and adaptable as he says he is, Dalton Schultz should have a role on this team somewhere.
If you limit yourself to only guys who perfectly fit your scheme and everything you want to do, you're going to end up with a football team full of 12 guys total. you got to take what guys can and cannot do. And then, as both D'Amico, but especially Nick Caley said yesterday, your scheme becomes what your players are suited to running. Yeah. And yeah, there's going to be certain things that Caley's going to want to do that Schultz probably can't do. Like we've pointed out before, I think he's usually, when he's not, maybe it was his injuries this year that were bothering him more than anything. Like he's at times a willing blocker. He's just not that good at it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'd be surprised if Dalton Schultz is out of here. I think it doesn't mean now they might, you know, very much be ready to move on from him when a better option comes along.
True. Here's Nick Caley on Texans All Access yesterday on the importance of being adaptable as a play caller.
It's important. I think you got to be able to adapt, and I think it gives you versatility. It's not just throwing fastballs. You got a changeup. You got a curveball. You got a slider, and you do that with different types of players. You do that with different personnel groupings. It could be, multiple types of 12 personnel groupings utilizing different players, or heavier personnel 13, or it's 11, and 21, et cetera, whatever it is. But I think you can do a lot of different things and present some issues defensively, obviously, too.
Yeah, and at one point, John Harris said, "You love that 13 personnel, don't you?"
Yeah.
Which is three tight ends. And Caley kind of laughed about it. But yeah, if you're a tight ends coach, that's what you like. If you can, and there's a place for that, but you got to have three guys that are capable at doing what you're asking them to do.
Yeah.
And to go back to some of the discussion about the offensive line, there were times last year where you weren't getting the best out of the offensive linemen individually, partly because it was very clear that the offensive linemen didn't know what the hell they were supposed to be doing. And that's something that always, in my mind, goes back to the offensive coordinator, because you're either asking them to do something that's too difficult or too hard to adjust to in the moment, or you're just not doing a good job of teaching it during the week. Because there aren't any offensive linemen out there that I think are just genuinely dumb dudes. There's guys that at times looked They did dumb things, but when it's a smart guy doing dumb things, I tend to put that back on the coaching.
Coaching, yep, for sure. Text message, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. I'm cautiously optimistic about Brevin Jordan returning. Let me point out, I don't know if that means that the listener is optimistic about Brevin Jordan coming back or being back with his team. Brevin Jordan is returning. So if you're optimistic about, if you're saying you're optimistic about him re-signing with the Texans, he's already re-signed. He signed an extension during the season, so he is coming back. I am cautiously optimistic about Brevin Jordan next year being a part of this offense. You know, that like this, Nick Caley sounds like a coach who may find some ways to unlock some things with Brevin. But hell, Bobby Slowick was a coach that found some ways to unlock some things with Brevin Jordan once he built some chemistry with CJ that rookie year, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And Brevin Jordan's a guy that, like, he's not a big guy. And I think because he's muscular, people don't realize sometimes that he's
short
on the smaller side of tight ends. So I think there is a, you can get better blocking out of him because I think he's willing. It's just like he's got to be that scrappy, get up underneath your shoulder pads type of guy. And we've had examples of that. So some of that could be just in really drilling the technique down and really setting the expectations.
Fundamentals.
For him.
Fundamentals.
Right. He's not going to be Gronkowski.
Right.
But again, nobody's going to be Gronkowski. But I think there's more in him as a blocker than maybe I originally gave him credit for.
And maybe the former tight ends coach who preaches fundamentals unlocks that part of Brevin Jordan a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Makes him a guy that can be on the field more than just, you know, obvious passing situations or as a hybrid, you know, fullback tight end.
A beefy slot.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. final segment coming up. Is this team willingly right now, not the Texans, is this team, we'll tell you who it is, are they willingly turning themselves into the 2021 Houston Texans? It was not a good year, if you recall. We'll tell you which team it is coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
Hi, Pain and Pendergast with you. Final segment of the week as we head into it. Dude, our first weekend with really nothing football in a long, long time. That weekend in between the title games, conference title games, and the Super Bowl, you've at least got a little bit of Pro Bowl stuff to scratch the itch, you know? Like, there's stuff, and you got right. and you got the anticipation of the Super Bowl, and with anything, whether it's a game or a vacation or whatever, the anticipation is as much a part of it as the actual event. We got nothing now, man. We're off a cliff right now, football-wise.
You've got the All-Star game coming up, Sean. You got to figure out, like, okay, will they score more than 500 combined points in this All-Star game?
Well, it's a new format now. They're, like, dividing into four teams or something. I don't know.
That'll fix it.
Exactly. You know what my solution for a long time has been to select all the All-Stars, you know, 12 for the East, 12 for the West, and then they don't have to stay East and West. Then divide those 24 players up by age. Take the median age and the 12 olds go against the 12 youngs.
Yeah.
That there's nothing that drives more vitriol and competition than olds wanting to get the youngs off of their lawn.
Feels like it used to be the intramural championship game at Cornell every year would be. It was just one black fraternity that was really good versus a faculty team that were these guys who were deadly with the threes. And it was that's what that would be. And it was a good game.
Yeah, sounds
it was a
like
good
it.
Game. It was which fraternity was it? They were really good.
Yeah.
It was two different, completely different styles. So yeah, you got the old guys out there just nailing threes and maybe playing a little bit more of a refined game.
Yeah.
The old NBA guys versus the young guns who are out there just trying to prove themselves.
Like a year removed from AAU, and they're just like, you know, going ISO the whole time.
Yeah.
You're right. So we have that this week. And look, the football gods have given us plenty to follow here. We've not touched on the Jets yet today and maybe saying, like, why would we do that? Well, Aaron Rodgers getting cut loose, the two sides deciding to divorce here is kind of a big story in the NFL. To me, the one interesting Texans wrinkle to this whole thing is that as of right now, the starting quarterback for the New York Jets is most likely, like if they had to play week one next week, Tyrod Taylor would be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets, which immediately gave me, like, Cully year PTSD. I'm like,
oh. I'll tell you what, man. It's not something that anybody should, you know, get an award for or anything, but I still remain impressed by the way he handled that season. He was in a really tough spot where Deshaun Watson was out there practicing as a just wearing a penny on defensive scout team during training camp.
Yeah.
It was a huge elephant in the room, and Tyrod Taylor has made the starting quarterback, and I thought he handled it about as well as any player could. I think it was a very dignified year for Tyrod Taylor. He had to deal with his injuries as you would have expected. That'd be awesome. It'd be awesome if he got one last stab at it with the Jets.
Oh, I hope he wins games. Like, if he wins games in that division, that means that either the Dolphins or the Bills are losing games in that division. You know, the two teams that I think are probably more expected to contend right now.
You know who he might have to compete with? According to the BetUS odds board right now, the third favorite team to sign Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. The New York Jets. There's no way in hell.
Who are the first two?
There's no way in hell. The Raiders and the Steelers.
That makes some sense. Yeah. Well, the Raiders with Chip Kelly, they're going to want more than Aiden O'Connell there. That one actually makes a lot of sense. They have no solution on the horizon because they're not in really great position. I think they're picking sixth. Yeah. So the chances of either Shador or Cam Ward falling to them are probably one of them, 50-50 maybe. And then the Steelers, like every year, like the Steelers have everything but a quarterback right now, it feels like. So that would make sense. The Jets are third?
I would think there's no way in hell Sam Darnold wants to go back to the Jets.
No.
Right? There's almost no upside in that. There's no way.
It's plus 600, 6-1. That's a terrible bet. I would need triple that to bet Sam Darnold. I would need 20-1 at least if I were to bet Sam Darnold going back to. That's like if you were a kid who got bullied as a freshman at a certain high school and you move away for a couple of years, but you move back to that city and you choose to go to that high school again. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. You pooped your pants. You had to move away because you pooped your pants in front of the entire class. You had nicknames that were never going to die. Right. I just got to get out of here. And then all of a sudden, Poopy Pants McGee shows back up for his junior year.
Right.
No way.
When there's 31 other high schools in the district. There's a number of other places you could go to. But nope, I'm going to go to the one where I got wedgied and I was pooping. What you call him? Poopy McPoopface?
Poopy Pants McGee.
Poopy Pants McGee.
I'm trying to look like Tanner Engstrand, the new offensive coordinator. He came from the Lions, and I don't think he has any common background with Sam Darnold.
Okay.
I don't think that Aaron Glenn would necessarily think that was a good solution.
From the Lions. Ooh, okay. How about this? From the Lions. How about a Hendon Hooker trade for the New York Jets? Huh?
He's How old is he now?
39 years old. Right? No, he was really old when he got drafted. He's got to be pushing 30. He got drafted like 3 years ago. He was like 20. Yeah, he's.
He was old. No, he's only 27.
Okay. Still drafted again like 2-3 years ago.
Third year quarterback, 27.
He's 27. So that's interesting. Bill Barnwell had a great tweet yesterday, as long as we're talking about this. So the Jets and Aaron Rodgers choose to part ways. The Jets, for some reason, did one of those thank you tweets where it's got a picture of Aaron Rodgers like walking on, like from behind, really dramatic, walking onto the field. And I got to pull it up to see exactly what they said. I had to double check and triple check to make sure this wasn't a Jets satire account. There's no reason the Jets should be tweeting out a thank you tweet for Aaron Rodgers. For everything you've given us the past 2 years, thank you, eight, with actually like the H-Town sign. You know what I mean? Like the hook 'em horn sign there. Unless Aaron Rodgers gave $100,000 to every Jets person behind the scenes, like secretly without telling anybody, there is no reason for the Jets to be thanking Aaron Rodgers. They paid him $70 million over 2 years to get 5 wins.
Right.
5 wins.
Yeah. This is like giving Jose Abreu a tribute video the next time
he has a
connecting flight in Houston. Yeah. Yes. It's not going to be for an appearance. Yeah.
Yes. They didn't give Jose Abreu a thank you tweet. That's a great analogy.
I feel like, you know what? I'd have to look and see what the Jets policy is. If they do that for every single player that leaves the team, perhaps maybe then. But I would think that they probably don't.
I'm guessing they would.
I feel like Jets fans, that's the kind of thing that Jets fans who follow the account are probably like, oh, you sons of, why are you doing this? Why are you throwing this in my face? Dang it. I bought in. I was excited about Aaron Rodgers. I said idiotically optimistic things on social media, and now you're rubbing it in my face.
Bill Barnwell laid out the Rodgers legacy in New York perfectly in a tweet yesterday. He retweeted or quote tweeted one of those Jets, thank you, or it might have been the one announcing that Aaron Rodgers was leaving. 2 second-round picks. That's what it cost them in draft capital. Mm-hmm. $75 million is what they paid him in salary. And Barnwell doesn't even mention the dead money that's still sitting there when they get rid of him. The contracts that they paid for Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, and Tim Boyle.
His boys. Yeah.
Another third-round pick and $11.6 million they traded to get Davante Adams, another one of his dudes. A year plus having to tolerate Nathaniel Hackett as your offensive coordinator. 5 wins.
Yeah, that's pretty rough, man. I guess maybe with Aaron Rodgers, the one thing I'd say is that he did just willingly give up a bunch of his salary so that they'd have room to sign some of those
aging and
useless veterans.
Yeah.
But so he put his money where his mouth was, or at least took money out of where his mouth was at some point,
just to
basically, you know, be a team player in that regard.
Yes.
You don't see a lot of athletes doing that.
No.
See a lot of aging quarterbacks just, you know, fighting tooth and nail to get everything that they're worth. He gave up some cash.
He gave up some cash, and yet you could argue like he was still probably like quadruple made what he should have made for what he produced.
Was still
way, way overpaid. I can't believe Sam Darnold is third on the odds board, or the Jets are third on the Sam Darnold odds board.
The fifth favorite team to sign the Titans on those odds boards are the Titans.
Okay,
so
for Darnold?
Would you rather face Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, or Sam Darnold?
Oh, easily the rookies. My last memory of Sam Darnold facing the Texans was him tearing their backside out in
especially
week three.
If he's in a scheme where it takes a half, you know, it takes a half year to two-thirds of a season for everybody to catch up to what they're doing.
Yeah.
He's good enough. He's good enough that in the regular season especially, he can really be a pain in the butt. So, yeah, for this year, maybe they sign him to be the bridge quarterback for one of those two guys. I mean, having a bridge quarterback for a number one overall pick is a dicey proposition.
I think Darnold, and probably his representation too, fancy himself more than just a one-year bridge quarterback right now.
Yeah, he'd rather be in a spot where even if the team drafts a guy in the first round, it's not a slam dunk that the guy's going to start right away.
Right. And he's getting a multi-year deal, not like the one-year $10 million he just got from Minnesota. You know, there's like some level of financial commitment there. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula,
what
both
up?
In the house. What up, fellas? How we feeling?
Terrific. Well-fed.
Big shout-out to Chris and Lacey, listeners. It popped up here. Chris is the one who gave me the Joe Montana jersey that I'm wearing, and they brought breakfast tacos up here.
Breakfast tacos and conversation.
Yeah. Love it, man.
Yeah. It's been a very fun Friday morning.
Good. Yeah, no, they're good. They're good dudes, man.
Well, that was the fun, and then the less fun was realizing that the spot that I typically sit at, although we don't have assigned seats, somebody did a mayhem over here.
The mic did it. These mics do that like once or twice a year. They just snap at the elbow
or
right
five
here.
Times.
COVID mics.
Yeah, or five times.
COVID
yeah.
Mics.
I'll tell you, a breakfast taco might be the one food. If I had to pick one food and I was only allowed to eat that food for like 3 months, you try to get something that you don't think you'd get sick of.
Yeah.
I think breakfast taco might do it for me.
Ooh,
I think I could do breakfast tacos every single meal for 3 months.
I think we just found our running question.
What would be the food you could eat? Yeah.
What's the your desert island food?
This is the one
that you got to eat.
Yeah, like FEMA's not going to come get you, but they'll bring you food for a month.
What is that?
Yeah,
is
I've
that
got
political?
A refrigerator to keep it from spoiling.
I'm picking some government entity to bring the food there.
Here comes Sean with his USAID take.
Great. You heard it.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
We made it the whole week
without getting into politics.
That's me. I know. It was like holding in a sneeze for 5 days. Almost made it. 9:58 on Friday. Now, in your take there, Seth, with the breakfast tacos being your survival food, are you allowed to change the fixins in the breakfast taco?
Yes.
No, it's got to be one.
Okay,
it's
got to
be the same breakfast taco every day.
What would it be for you?
Just the basic. Actually, I'd probably go with a chorizo or something.
Me too. And, chorizo con huevo with bean, with frijol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Chorizo.
Chorizo.
Yeah. What about you, Reggie? What's yours?
I think I'm bacon, egg, and cheese, man.
That's me. That's what mine was, too.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it's
wait, the taco or like the sandwich?
Oh, no, I was going with
food.
The taco. If I was going breakfast taco, I'm still pondering. It's going to take me all show long, I bet, to find like
we ruined
food.
Reggie.
It's harder than you think.
It really is.
I thought there was a spell where I thought I could eat nothing but strawberry banana yogurt, and now it's like arsenic to me. So, you can't. It's hard not to overdo a food that you love.
Any food.
Early leader in my personal clubhouse is a shrimp fried rice.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's one of those ones that I can do very frequently.
All the time.
But I'm just naturally, my natural disposition as a person is, after a couple days, man, I kind of want something else. So, this is going to be tough for me.
Yeah, I get bored easily, for sure. I know you guys are going to talk a lot about Nick Cayley.
What happened with him?
Generally, he met with he's the new offensive coordinator for the Texans. He got the job, Reggie.
All right, cool.
He did get the job.
He got a breakfast taco endorsement.
That's right, yes.
Well, HEB has an opening.
Overall, favorable, right, for commercials. officials. Yeah, there's right. a bee, yeah, the driver's seat in that silly car that they drive around yeah. in. And bring some better salsa to the table as well. Overall positive impressions of Nick Caley yesterday? Oh, yeah. I know you guys are going to get into it.
Overall positive, but I think we're going to start with something that just I can't let go of.
Really?
Yes.
I like this.
Yeah. Overall positive.
Positive.
I think you're going to do your best Clinton impression. I think Clint came through and he liked it and he was just like, here's a few things that, you know, a little bit off.
No. I like the hierarchy. I like the energy. I like all that. But there's something I just can't let go of.
Okay. Well, that's a very good tease. I can't wait to hear what that is. Question of the day? Do we have one?
What is our question of the day?
Yeah, we have a question
of
the day.
Lopez special.
What's something you've said that will live in infamy? And it has to do with Carl Ravage, who's getting torched.
We torched him during the bad take segment.
And he got torched by the University of Kentucky head coach.
Oh, Mark
who's
Pope?
That Pope?
Mark Pope went in on him. Something that you've said that will live in infamy that you'll never be able to get over.
Oh, Johnny Manziel gets thrown into my face all the time. I was on the Johnny Manziel train for the Texans with the number one overall.
That's
pick.
A good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
For sure. Okay, good. 1040 on that?
J.J. Watt is mine. I won't tell you what.
J.J. Oh, okay.
I had a hot take on Texans radio the night of the draft.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure it was a 5-star review of J.J. Watt. okay, cool. Well, and that is coming up at
10:40.
All right, good stuff. All right, Seth, have a great weekend, man. Antibodies.
Yeah, antibodies, and may all of your many subsidies remain untouched.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, I miss subsidy talk?
I don't know who it is.
Sean T. Pendergast himself. He's a big-time fraud as well.
I'm the biggest fraud in American sports other than Andy Reid, according to Angelo Cataldi. All right, we're done. We're out of time.